So we finished the first few of Yaakov's children, and we are up to Gad and Asher. So that would put us. No. In Stone Vayetze, we're darshening the names. It's Perek Lamed.
Get the name.
Perek Lamed. Let's. Okay. I've got too many sweaters here. Okay. Perek Lamed, Pasuk Aleph. Start from the beginning of Perek Lamed. Okay. Okay. Today's January 16th. We are learning couples in Tanakh. Right now we are competing with the couples of... couple of Leah and Yaakov is competing with Rachel and Yaakov. And when Rachel sees that her sister keeps on producing child after child, and she's jealous, right? This is V'tekaneh Rachel ba'achosa, and she says very sharply to her husband, Havali banim v'ma'ayin me'sa anochi. Right? Okay, I will die if I not have children. Now, what is this? Is this something? Is it every? Is she saying this because she knows she's part of a grand program for the future that God has promised, and that she's losing her place in history? Right? Now, Sarah was less willing to lose her place in history. I'm just not producing this for you, Avram. Rachel recognizes that her husband is already quite a bit more prolific than his own father and grandfather in terms of putting out children. And Rachel is losing her spot in history. Right? Give me children or I will die. Why is she being so harsh? Why is she... Is it not just that I don't have children, but maybe it's also that my sister has so many? Right? Would she have said this? Did Sarah ever say something like this? She's not married nearly as long as Rivka was married before she produced children. Did Rivka tell Yitzchak, come on, let's have children or I'm going to die?
She said something also.
No, Rivka. She didn't say anything. Right? Okay, I would suggest that anytime you give your child something and then you give another child more, it doesn't even matter how old they are. Something's going to go on. All right? Cain would have been perfectly happy had he got no respect and his brother got no respect. But when he saw Vayisha Hashem el Hevel el min chaso, el Cain and chaso lo sha'a, then... I would give a question to God. This is God. You, how could you not know what would result from your favoritism? You started it. All the problems in Sefer Bereishis of sibling rivalry. You started it. Right? Anyway, here with Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph. Right? One might think that while Sarah and Rivka went far longer before bearing a child. Right? Yosef was born maybe at most 7 years after their marriage. Right? Remember, he worked for her 7 years. All these other kids, let's say certainly not 20 years, maybe 7 to 10 years after the marriage. Because I'll say actually that Yosef was born 14 years, I should say. 14 years after the marriage. So he was 77 when they were married. And... No, forgive me, I'm sorry. 77 when he went up to Lavan. He was 84. He was worked for 7 years. Right? These boys are not born one after the other. Some of them are born in between. Like the marriage of Bilhah, Zilpah, and... Some of those are just months apart, right? You know what I'm saying? The birth of Zilpah, the birth of Bilhah, the birth of Leah herself. Anyway, That's the Chazal say that Rachel was married 7 years before Yosef was born. So 7 years, and you're saying I in Mesa Anochi? Yeah, and it's because of her sister's prolific production of children that she says this. So Yaakov's reaction we discussed last time. I believe I mentioned the parish of Yakedas Yitzchak. Does that ring a bell? Mm-hmm. Of Yitzchak Arama, that Chava has two names. She's called Chava, which is also called Isha. Mm-hmm. She's Chava as an Eim Kol Chai, right? But she's also Isha Kime Ish Lukacha. You're the counterpart of a man, right? You have value in terms of your position in humanity. You're an Isha, even if you don't become a Chava. You have value in and of yourself. That's what Yaakov is telling Rachel, according to Akedat Yitzchak. Okay? Right? V'yemar tachas Elokim anochi Hashem anami mech pri baten. Okay? Do I take the place of God? Right? Now, according to Chazal, he meant well. He's just saying, take this issue up with him. I'll do everything I can to make this happen for you, but it's not up to me. Okay, he's telling her to pray to Hashem. So according to the Medrash, she's telling him, well, why aren't you? Your father prayed for your mother, right? Right, he learned from your grandfather's mistake when he said Anochi holech ariri. He didn't say Anachnu holchim aririm. He said Anochi holech ariri, only caring as kiviyochol for himself. Right, if he had said Anachnu Hochim Aririm, Hashem would have told him, don't say that. You, plural, will have children. Instead, God answered Anochi Olech Ariri to say, don't say that, Avraham, you, singular, you will have children. Right? In the next chapter, when Sarah said, listen, it's not working with me, take Hagar, Avraham would have been able to tell her, no, I'm not taking Hagar. Hashem told me, you and I will have children. Yeah, when I asked him, Anachnu Hochim Aririm.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, the whole thing. All hinging on just Anochi instead. Because he said Anochi instead of Anachnu. This is not my cheshbon, it's Rashi's cheshbon. Rashi says this. Okay. Alright, so she tells her, she tells Yaakov, Pasuk Gimel, Hinei Amasi Bilha. There's no hiding the fact that she expects that this child will be mine. Let her give birth. What do you mean, al birkai? There's a terminology that appeared in last week's parasha by Yosef.
Right? Two sons.
Yeah, two sons on birkei Yosef. Right, so the Targum Yonason and interestingly says that's the origin of being a Sandik. I'm not sure what it means here, right? So according to this, the first Sandik was not Yosef; it was Rachel, right? Anyway, our best answer is that it's an idiomatic phrase. Teled al birkai means she will give birth for me. It's surrogate motherhood. Okay. I believe I've told you the institution was quite common in the ancient world, but in this case we have found absolute archaeological evidence of it. It's called the Nuzi tablets, and they have elaborate laws of surrogate motherhood. And we've discussed them. Sarah was actually acting with greater alacrity and more leniency towards the woman who falls out by allowing her to keep her child. Right? In all of these ancient codes, the new mother keeps the child. She sends the biological mother free. The other mother, the Gveret, keeps the child. Right? In this case, I'm not sure what difference it makes. The only difference would be if Zilpah and Bilhah had been cast out of the home. Right? You know what I'm saying? I'm sure Bill and Zilpah nursed these children. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the practical difference? Is that, I don't know, Rachel names the children. Vachalnea named these children as if though they're named as if though they had the child themselves. Let's read. It says, "Vatome Rachel pasuk vav donani Elokim v'gam shama bekoli vayita li bein al ken kara shmo don." This pasuk teaches us what it means to pray. What's the Hebrew word for prayer? It's tefillah. There are many Hebrew words for prayer in the Tanakh, but lit palel, right, conjures up the Hebrew word plilim,
judge,
which is judge, judgments. Vayamod Pinchas vayipalel really means he stood and judged, and he stood and prayed. I don't see anything in Parshas Pinchas that when Pinchas saw what was going on at the end of Parshas Bullock that he stood up and started davening mincha. It says vayipalel means he judged them. Okay, so here she's saying, I prayed and I was judged. Right? And God found me worthy. Because when we pray for something, so for you go to your boss and ask for a raise, the first thing is you're going to have an evaluation. Right? So let's be careful. We pray for things, right? And we're going to be evaluated to see if we deserve this thing. Okay, so she says, I was judged by God, I was found to be worthy, so that he gave Vayiten Li Ben. Right? He has given me a son. Okay. So she put the word for judge in the name. Pataro Matelet Bilha Shivchas Rachel. Wants to remind us that she's Shivchas Rachel. Right? So she Ben Sheni Liakov. Notice this pasuk is saying bein batelid, like pasuk hey, batelid li Yaakov bein sheni li Yaakov. Right? Rachel in the middle of those two pasukim said veyiten li bein. Right? Okay, it's pashut. I mean, the point is that it's a child for Yaakov because these children are going to be tribes of a great nation. Vatomer Rachel, naftulei Elokim niftalti. A lot of different opinions about what this word means. Right? Rashi says it's from the word paknaf pesil techeles. Right? I don't know. I think the remember however we interpreted it. It has to be Rachel talking. It has to be Rachel saying this thing. But naftulei. Do you have an English translation that connects to? Foolishness,
sacred schemes. Have I maneuvered? It's registered.
Okay, so that I have to remember it's the stone published. So, psaltol. Is that familiar? The word psaltol. Tell. Psaltol. Tough lamed. So it's something foolish, right? She's recognizing that she's this sort of a game that she's playing with her sister, right? But you know, main thing is she's happy that she's doing her part in populating this nation. Naftulei Elokim niftalti im achusi. Right? Now she's talking. She's putting God in the middle of this, right? So she acknowledges right off the bat. This is all. Maybe as you know, when the good times come in, they say, you know, I'm recognizing. Maybe I'm going about this the wrong way. Is this really? Is it just all about my sister? Right. Okay. So what happens is that Leah reacts to this also. Someone pour a little bit of ginger ale in the back there. Yes.
I was going to say in the GPS translation, it's written, and Rachel said, "A faithful contest I wish with my sister."
Yeah. Okay. A faithful contest. Right. So I would say that she's they're both feeling this. That it's all about her sister. Right. It's not just It's not about what they're accomplishing themselves, but it's how am I gaining on my sister? Because the reaction of Leah to hearing this is Batera Leah ki omdami ledes. I mean, it's been at most 2 or 3 years, right? So when you give birth four years in a row to four children, and then all of a sudden 3 years go by, you feel, okay, you know, something stopped for me. Okay? So she may not have done this l'chatchila herself, right? So, I'm dabble a little in these piskei halacha because, you know, they just come up, but, you know, with all, there's a huge amount of fertility assistance that's available now. But the when someone calls for a psak halacha, should I do IVF? Should I do, you know, in vitro fertilization? Should I do a donor egg or things like that?
So the
poskim are pretty much in agreement that we don't allow these things. We don't get into the intricate details of these things if the couple already has children. You know what I'm saying? This is for a couple who doesn't have children. So one might think, so what difference does it make? If they had children and this is the only way for them to have more children, what difference does it make? Right? In this case, you see, Leah should just, you know, okay, Leah, so what? Your sister has two children through a surrogate. What does this make you? Because she says, Naftu Leah Hashem Niftalti. I could play this game too. Right? This is a little cruel on Leah's part because Leah's got her four, and now Rachel has two through a surrogate. So Zilpah now you have to do a surrogate too, and equal her. You know, she'll never come to your level through the surrogate, right? Yes, Moshe.
Is Rachel eliciting Hashem's help in this? Maneuvering the scheme. I mean,
you always have very, 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 very good questions. But you see, the women certainly with the names they give, Danani Hashem, Bishma Hashem, Kibra Hashem, and every name is God's role in their life. They become very religious in this way, right? Yaakov's wives. In the Tanakh, a religious person, we don't really see. You don't see Yonah putting on tefillin in Tanakh, but you see people like Naomi telling Ruth, God saw to it that you would go to a particular field. You know, God saw to it that there's food back in Beis. That's the way they talk, right? The religious nature of a person in Tanakh is through the hashkacha, the way they feel the hashkacha pratis of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So with all these names from God. So that the way I see Moshe's question is that, you know, God sort of gets Rachel slowly. You know, God could have given Rachel her own two kids at first, but they have to go through a surrogate first. So I think it's from what we said before, is that Yaakov was telling Rachel, listen, Rachel, this isn't working for you. I'm sorry, I feel for you. Go ahead and do something. She says, okay, I can't seem to be doing something for myself, but there is something I can do. I could do what your grandmother did. Right? Okay, and she does it to success. Okay, all right. So Leah wants to get in on the act, and she says she takes Zilpa Shivchasa, but Titeno Sali Yaakov Leisha. Now, do you remember back in chapter 16, right? When Sarah does this, right? Both psukim here with the marriage of Zilpah and Bilhah fit the same scheme. Because in what I discussed, I just mentioned the Nutzi tablets before, is that when the woman gives over some kind of subservient handmaiden or some other loyal friend to have a child with her husband, right? When the woman does that, the husband doesn't. That woman doesn't become a co-wife.
But by Sarah,
By Sarah, that's precisely the point. It says that. Listen carefully to the pasuk. And notice the text wants to make sure that Sarah is clearly the wife, the main wife. It says, V'Sarai Eshes Avram Lo Yolda. Just say, V'Sarai Lo Yolda. I know who she is. Right? So, V'Lo Shivcha Mitzvis U'Shma Hagar. V'Tomer Sarai El Avram. El Avram. Hinei Na Atzarani Hashem Yiledes. God has kept me from giving birth. Bo Na El Shivcha Si. U'La Ibanem Imena. Right? V'Yishma Avram L'Kol Sarai. So Avram listened to her. By doing what? He didn't do anything. Because the next pasuk says, not Vayikach Avram es Hagar li'isha. No. Vatikach Sarai Eishas Avram es Hagar. As if though Avram was balking at this, right? So again, Sarai Eishas Avram es Hagar ha-mitzris shivchasa. As if to show, you know, the contrast between Sarai Eishas Avram and Hagar ha-mitzris shivchasa. And it gives us a time frame, not important for us right now. Batitain osa la Avram isha, lo li isha, without a mapik in the hay. She took this woman and gave it to Avram, her husband, as a wife. So that's the important point, is that if she becomes a wife, what difference does it make?
Does she still get the child?
Yeah, she gets it.
Certainly does, but what difference does it make? If a woman would do this, I should think she would not want the wife to be the second woman to be a wife. Just be a biological thing for him and me, and we'll get on with it. I don't want an emotional connection here. So the answer in all three of these cases, in the case of Sarah, look now back in Perek Lamed, where Rachel says back in Pasuk Dalet, Vatitain lo es bila shivchasa li'isha, right? And in our pasuk, it says, Vatitain osa li'yakov li'isha, pasuk tes, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to see it?
Yeah.
So here, Ramban says this in his parish back in Perek Tzayin, that in all of these cases, it's the first, the Akeras Habayis, the first wife, who does not want to degrade her husband by just having a biological act with someone and give a child into the family. No, we want it to be, if not a loving relationship, at least a marital relationship. Right? I mean, what woman actively seeks a co-wife? Right? It's not the 60s. I mean, it's, you know. Right?
Utah.
Right? Utah. Right? Do the women actively seek such thing? Maybe I hear that they sometimes are good friends, actually.
We're supposed to ask questions. The husband's supposed to ask questions the first place. We accept that.
Uh-huh. Yes. So. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a reason why the Torah refers to these women as tzoros to each other, you know?
Sarata.
Yes.
You know why we have the concept of, like, the Jewish mother, so the child is Jewish because the mother is Jewish? I was wondering if at this point in time, was there any kind of concept that, let's say, to ensure that this child will, I don't know, follow the legacy of the children of Israel, he should have a connection with the mother?
At this time in history, it would appear, let's say, consider the marriage of Moshe to a Midianite. You know, before the Torah is given, there's no concept of conversion or anything like that. So it would appear that there's... how do I know? Where does it ever say in the Torah how the religion is passed on? Well, actually, right after Matan Torah, there is a limud in Parshas Mishpatim.
But what was it this time? Was there anything?
Stomach goes after the father.
Like upbringing comes from the mother or something?
One question would be, were they circumcised, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they certainly do.
They'll still have these.
Yeah.
And the police team were not circumcised.
You know, the Rashi offers two different interpretations of who these boys married. Before these 70 nations. Mm-hmm. First Rashi says that they married from the family members. Others say they married Canaanite women. What are you talking about? Well, they married women who were around.
Yeah, like Yehuda.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Some when it says that Shimon had a child who was the ben ha-Knanites. That might imply that the others did not marry Knanites. If they all married Knanites, well, what chiddush are you telling me? Shimon ben had a child ben ha-Knanites, and that Yehuda. So I'll tell you this. Rashi there also says that the word Knaani. You know, look at the Targum for the word Knaani in the Tamar story, and it says merchant. Mm-hmm. Knaani also means a merchant.
Like Sheirat Ishmaelim, because it's
like in Eishes Chayil. Chagor Nosno the Knaani. Oz v'hodol the Bushel Atischav v'mechalom. It lo ye Knaani od b'mikdash at the end of Zechariah. There were no more Knaanites at the time of Zechariah. Right? Okay. Anyway,
but Asher, for example. I almost bought once an Asherah at Sotheby's, which was a Canaanite fertility. Looked like a Barbie doll with hair. Yeah. It was very expensive. But anyway, Canaanite Asherah, so you have an Asher and some Ulon, the last two children.
Yeah, well, okay, we know Rachel already...
Such a change, Rachel. I mean, from giving the secret code to her sister to now competing with her sister.
Things change. They changed for Sarah and Hagar also. I mean, for Sarah with respect to Hagar, you know, you think you can enable it, and then you had good intentions, and then things don't go well. So that's the human condition. Things are changing all the time for us. Okay, so let's see. So let's see these new names. So Vatelet Zilpa Shivchas Leah the Yaakov Bain. Again, it's for Yaakov. Vatoma Leah Ba God. It's written like one word, but it's pronounced as two words. Ba God. God has come. Vatikroshmo God. Well, really, what is that? So again, your English translations are going to be quite disparate there, probably. God sometimes translated fortune. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a pasuk in Yechezkel where he refers to God. It's in a negative sense. It's in an avodah zarah sense actually, and it has to do with witchcraft and magic. Okay. Now, remember, these are the daughters of Lavan who are actually saying very, very religious things here about giving the boys their names. You mentioned Asher, you know, Rachel took the Trophim. You know, it's the text does not reveal to us what she had in mind with them.
This one says, what luck?
Luck.
What luck does it?
Right. Yeah. Okay. What luck is that? You know, if God is fair, He didn't have to give me a child with Zilpah. I already have mine. You know, Yaakov is gonna. You know, I've done whatever I need to do. But what good luck? I did what she did. Right. Okay. Vatel Zilpah Shivchas Leah Ben Sheni, LeYaakov. Right. I'm by every measure I'm equal to the task. I have as much from this standpoint as my sister, and I've got
my own
four to look after.
Ishrunibanot, that means they got girls too?
No, meaning the women who townswomen who sing songs about people.
Like Lavan blessing Rivka when they go in the year, Rivavan.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so, all right, let's read now the most intriguing of the stories of these sisters. Rashi is really the only Rishonim who notice what difference does it make what time of year this is. And what kind of flowers are these? And so Rashi puts a little morality within the context and the framework of this story. And remember, it's Reuven who is later going to do something extremely drastic for his mother's honor. Right, Reuven is not simply just coming home with some daisies that he picked. Reuven is trying desperately to get his mother to be more respected. My mother is produced or by roll rights, let's say 4 plus 2. Right? 4 plus 2 against 2. Right? So my mother is, but as much as my mother deserves the greater respect, she's not getting it. Right? And it could very well be by the way that she talks with it. So it's pretty crude the way they talk. It seems the competition to be with Yaakov has become extremely fierce. It's because of this next aliyah now that the Torah later prohibits a marriage to two sisters, right? Even at a time where polygamy was practiced. But Reuven is at the head of this. Okay, and somehow Reuven always has a good intention, but just never gets the job done. Right? So his intention here is to pick up some kind of, I don't know, I hear also you probably have different opinions of what kind of flower this is even. Some say violet, some say jasmines, but something which will cause a romantic setting. Aphrodisiac, I don't know, but something where just the very scent of this flower is going to make my father want my mother. It could very well be the reason why she hasn't had any more children it says Vatera Leah ki omda miledes. Would imply that the reason why she's not having children is not because her husband isn't paying attention to her. That would be no chiddush. I haven't been intimate with my husband in 3 years and then I have no children. Right? Vatera ki omda miledes, bedafka, means that she is continually intimate with her husband during that time. But it's not working. Right? Keep on. Otherwise, what would be the chiddush? Right? Okay, so. But whatever it may be, the ancients most certainly felt that these flowers or these additives or potions actually made a difference in conception. Right? There are writings in Chazal all over the place about these things. Right? And Rashi seems to always be at the forefront of citing them. Right? Okay, and then the Gemara's talk about it. Even the Chazal and the Mefarshim hint at this with what Yaakov was doing with the sheep when they were looking at something, and then they would get warmed, and they would, you know what I'm saying? And the type of sheep they would give birth to. You know, right? Okay, so let's see. So he goes out into the field and he gets Duda'im Basodeh. Dudaim, I think, are also translated as mandrakes. Is that what you maybe have? Yes. Okay. This is why on Reuven's flag is a picture of a man. From this, Dudaim. That's the Radak's amazing chiddush about the four faces of the figure in the beginning of Yechezkel. There's a man, a lion, an eagle, and an ox. Besides the fact that these are all the kings of their various domains. The ox is the king of the behemoth kingdom, the eagle is the king of the birds, the lion is the king of the Achaia kingdom, and of course man. But the Radak says, no, it's very simple. There are four camps in Israel, in the desert. The lion is the Judah and his two. The ox is the shore, Bechor Shor is Ephraim and his two. And the man is Reuven. How did the Nesher get to be done? Because it's based on a pasuk where Dun is the Masik Machanos, and he's like the eagle that flies over and sort of overviews the whole camp. Because I'll say that Dun was involved in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. He was always cleaning up the camp and returning lost articles, which would explain why we haven't found so many artifacts in the desert. So many people. They were good campers, right?
Here's the last group.
So the Bar Midbar Rabbah says, and it's a beautiful, amazing drash, but it's been corroborated almost through, since the Middle Ages, is that whenever someone's going to identify the 10 lost tribes, Dan is always going to be the first tribe that's going to kind of set forth. Right? Because they were involved in the Shabbos Aveda, so they're going to be the first lost tribe to be identified and found. Right? Okay, so those are the four. But the man is the man who found his Dudaim. So he brought them home for his mother. What? So he should get extra allowance that day? Why did he bring them home to his mother? He knows very clearly. He brings them to his mother to give to his father. Right? Every child wants his parents to be loving and respectful of each other and supportive of each other. It pained Reuven to see Yaakov's attention going to others. Right? This is, according to Chazal, the moral pass they give Reuven for whatever he did with Bilhah. Right? They're willing to say, you know what, it almost doesn't even matter whether he actually did what the Pasuk says he did, which is Vayishkav es Bilhah. Only there it doesn't say Eshes Aviv, like it said in the Pasuk we just read here. What does it say there, remember? Vayishkav es Bilhah Pilegesh Aviv. Right? That's bad enough. But then some of us, as if the Torah doesn't want to write Vayishkav es Bilhah Eshes Aviv. That's just too crazy. Right? Remember the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav, says it could not have been that Reuven did such a thing, because his descendants would stand on one side of the mountain and say, Arur ish asher shochev im eishes aviv, amar kol ha'am, amen. Right? How could Reuven's descendants say such a thing that their elder Zayda actually so flagrantly violated? He must not have done it. Right? Whatever it is. The point is that Chazal, who are very steeped in the concept of the ends justify the means, which allows us to lie in the interests of peace, and there's so many other mitzvah, baba avera is not allowed, but an avera l'shma is. Go tell me the difference between those two. Right? Why isn't an ase docha lo sase a mitzvah baba avera? We have to fine tune all these things, but the point is that when it comes to Reuven, Chazal are at least impressed by his good intentions. They're not impressed by his results as much as Yaakov isn't on his deathbed, right? But at least they give him the pass because of his good intentions. And those good intentions, whatever he wanted to do with Bilhah later on, starts off here. You can see that this Reuven cares very much for his mother's honor. I digress. Have you ever heard of a source called the Testament of the 12 Tribes? Savos HaShvatim. It's an amazing piece of literature. Its source is certainly not as authoritative, or not authoritative, as Bible. But as far as, let's say, Rashbam used similar source material in his commentary. These are sources that are apocryphal, that come from a body known as the pseudepigrapha. Right? The pseudepigrapha, the apocrypha. Anyway, the Testament of the 12 Tribes is a can be found in its entirety, by the way, in Ginsberg's Legends of the Jews. Now, you can get the whole thing in two big 12 green volumes. You ever see it? Really have it. Quite originally they were in smaller
six.
Yeah, they were just reprinted now the last few years. Yeah. One of my sons got it as a bar mitzvah present. So and it's very tall. The index in itself is worthwhile.
It's two volume of notes. Four right. Volumes. Amazing. Two volumes of notes.
Right. So he what it is the all 12 of the tribes of Israel, and here I mean the sons of Yaakov, including Yosef and Yosef and Levi, not Ephraim and Manasseh. The sons of Yaakov, around their deathbed, are teaching their children, right, Yaakov's descendants, their children, the lessons of life that they had learned. It's a very interesting Very interesting material. Right? How authoritative is it? How much is it quoted by others? It's a sign of canonization. How are people quoting it? Are we learning things from it? So that's to be seen. But anyway, in Reuven's testament, the whole testament, everything he says to his descendants around his deathbed revolves around his honor and respect for his mother. But when it comes to Bilhah, however, he says that it was a moment of weakness on his part. Right? You know, the reader might be a little curious to know if she was a willing partner with him, according to the Pshat. Of course, no Rashi or Mefarshim even bother with such a question, because they don't believe he even took her at all. He just moved the bed from one room to another. Right? But according to the Pashtunim, like Bechor Shor and others, was she a willing part? I mean, that would be despicable on her part, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't she have been caring for Binyamin, right?
Okay, but she also had to, you know. Right? So the Testament to the 12 Tribes, it answers a lot of these questions about what he did. Because it certainly would exacerbate his deed if she was unwilling. That would be really disgusting and despicable. Right? Okay, so Testament to the 12 Tribes just very, very cleverly works out all these questions. I won't get into it, but they what he says about what he did with Bilhah, he says it's just a weakness on his own part. And they don't excuse this in terms of Leah, his desire to gain respect for Leah. All right, so let's see what's going on here. Let's finish this off. So he brought them to Leah, his mother, for obvious purposes. Vatomer Rachel el Leah, tni nali miduda ebeneich. She didn't say give me all of them. She just said, can you please give me some of them? Right. I don't mind saying that the no here means please. Right? Tnu no li miduta ebeneich. For what purpose? It's obvious. Right? I want to be romantic with my husband too. Right? Ve'yavo Yaakov min ha'sodeh ba'erev, v'teitze lea li krosso, v'tomer elai tavo, ki sachor schartiha biduta ebeni, v'ishkav imam ba'layla hu. Okay, I'm sorry, I skipped some lines, I'm sorry. So Rachel says to Leah, can you give me some of your son's dudaim? But Tomer lo, hama'at kach tech es ishi, v'lokach as gam es dudaim b'ni. Right? Look at Leah says, it's not enough that you took my husband, now you want to take my son's dudaim as well? Leah, let's go back and consider how all this started, you know. Huh? You'd think that Lavan would have someone else. I mean, Lavan thought that the only way for me to get this girl married is through subterfuge. Right? Yeah. Okay, so Batomer Rocha, Lachen Yishkavi Machalaila, Tachas Duda Ebeneich. Okay, I bet he'll be with you tonight. This is getting petty. I mean, is this what's going on all the time between these sisters? Vehu Yaakov min Asadeh Ba'er, Vatetze Leah Likroso, Batomer Elai Tavo, Ki Sachor Schartichah Beduda Ebeni. It's a little crude. You know, Gemara doesn't love this kind of this crudeness, right? When Yaakov first told, remember he finished working 7 years for Lavan, he said, give me my wife, v'avoeleah. That's the way you talk to your father-in-law? Right? So Rashi says, afilo kal shebakalim don't talk this way. I don't know about that today, but we're very kal today, anyway, in the case of Yaakov, I would, in the very least, explain it to mean that for those 7 years when he was working for her, they were chaste. Right? It means that he didn't do any of that during those 7 years. Right? You know, we're engaged. She's going to marry me. What difference does it make? Why should we wait? Right? Who knows? Does the father have her on a chain at every moment? So Kamash Malan, by saying, it's not only Shiva Voi, it means that I haven't until now. Right? Okay. So here, however, the desire is so acute and the competition is so fierce. What is it that she wanted these flowers just to have this night with him? You know, she conceives this night. She hasn't given birth in some years already. Now it's like 6 years already, because there's four, you know. Well, she had four, then the 2 years for Bilha, and 2 years for Zilpa. No, it's 4 or 5 years maybe. Okay. Alright, so Vaishma Elokim es Leah Batar Batelet Yaakov Ben Chimishik. So this works. How do you like that? Rashi says this about Hagar. He says, maybe by doing this kind deed and showing my willingness to give up my place in history, I'll merit having my own child. Right? I'm saying this is far beyond anything I could ever imagine that I would deserve. Right? This word zvul, well, it's not connected at all to the word zevel, which means garbage, but zvul, mi beit zvul lo.
Isn't it mouse sword?
Okay, it's Bavel, Zerubbabel, okay.
Fruitful.
Many.
Yeah.
Fertilizer, fruitful.
Zvulon,
superlative.
Zvul, Tifarti?
Yeah.
Balzvul instead of Balzvul. Balzvul.
So here I think it's related more to the Mikdash. When Shlomo builds the base Mikdash, says, he built a Beit Zvul for Hashem. Beit Zvul. Okay. So, it may be a deep etymology connects all these words. It's very possible. Right? Okay, she's done more than she could ever have imagined. Okay. And we're going to have to continue next week when we see Vayizkor Elokim as Rachel. But I was hoping, I had this two Shabbos of a bris in between, but to reach just when we're starting Shmos to talk about Amram and Yocheved. Right? Their relationship is not developed well in the text, but there is quite a bit in rabbinic literature about their relationship, and we'll base it on certain psukim. Mm-hmm. Maybe even some Divrei Yamim, but in Parshas Pinchas. But I just want to finish up with the name of Yosef next week, and then we'll go right into. I do want to say a nice little trash on when Yosef says the same words that Yaakov used, Hatachas Elokim Anochi Hashem. Even now, you know, when the brothers confronted him, he uses a similar terminology. I want to do that. Just the name of Yosef, that connection, and then we'll go into Shmos, if that's okay next week. Okay. Hey, everybody. Great to see you again. We'll have Marek next door.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, we also have to give in Yamin's name. Sorry. One of the Binyamin's
I'm going to call you on 12
from here.
If you'd like me to bring anything.
The younger one.
Oh my goodness, they all grow so much.
How is the glam shirt?
I've never seen such
a thing. Don't get involved.
Every breath of like 5 minutes of singing and dancing.
If you put in that company, I won't get invited out. I don't think it would rather have me go get invited out. I know who to go. So it's whichever way is better for you.
So the name are not called poppies,
poppies? No, I never saw them.
Yeah, when I said to the Rabbi Shalom, for lunch.
Poppies? Poppies?
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
If our pop is going later on, it's going to Baal Zebul in the north. There is a Baal Bek, which is Baal and Baal. Baal for two of them.
His wife is Ezebel. That's his wife's name.
But Ellen?
Yes.
And they have 70 children. Maybe not two of them. His wife, no, his wife is Ezebel. His wife. Ready, Dr. Mark?
Which one? Oh. I wanted to go to...